From the front line.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgate. Representing KGYR and its stakeholders. We are the Forum for the Fans. The Bleed Blue Show. Now, here are your hosts, Steve and Chris.
Yeah, we are the Forum for the Fans, the Bleed Blue Show. This is the Big Blue Roundtable, and this is the Undrafted Folk episode, talking to undrafted rookies, the free agents, maybe a little bit of rookie talk sprinkled in anyway, in between all that. But the stakeholders, myself, all of us, we all have equal say. We're going to discuss Giants football with the undrafted folk. The website to our episode that could be live streamed as we speak on BleedBlueShow.com. As a matter of fact, thanks to all the great stakeholders who have called in to speak Giants football week in and week out with us. And would it be a show without the stakeholders as well? And also to the Giant fans and sports fans from all across the world who inbox us, who can't call in, who send in their messages and their comments to talk football with us. We can't thank you enough as well. Like I said, the episode's on the podcast tab of BleedBlueShow.com. As well, you can stream our episodes in audio archive in iTunes, Podcast Republic, TuneIn, and your Stitcher app. Before we get into some Giants talk, real quick plugs. From earlier this week, we discussed the Yankees baseball on Monday, the live-looking game versus the Cincinnati Reds. Right now, game in session versus the Astros. So we talked, especially me being out there in Chicago on the north side with the Yankees getting a sweep in Chicago and Wrigley. So right now the Yankees also a good start to the 2017 season. Hopefully the guys can keep it up. That dialogue with the infamous Knickerbocker Avenue, our source for the streets for the New York Knicks. We taught Yankees baseball on this past Monday, like we do every Monday on the Dugout Podcast. So that episode is available. And of course, Tuesday was a heartbreaking, very down, sad episode with the Rangers losing to the Senators. We discussed that. Ranger Proud, the Ranked Podcast with Ranger Proud. You follow Ranger Proud on Facebook, Twitter, and also Ranger.Proud on Instagram. And we discussed the Rangers losing to the Senators, Game 6, season over for the Rangers. So that dialogue, the in-depth dialogue, talking Rangers hockey, is out there on the BleedBlueShow.com as well. So, and then, of course, on Wednesday, talking NBA playoffs, the second round, and it's really mind-boggling to see the San Antonio Spurs putting an ass-whooping on the Rockets right now. It's really shocking to see that without Kawhi Leonard and Tony Parker. But that dialogue as well, talking the remainder two series left in the second round, talking Celtics-Wizards, and also talking Rockets-Spurs. You know, the Knicks, we have not forgotten about the Knicks. We are a Knicks-based podcast anyway. The Knickerbocker Avenue fan forum will resume after the NBA Finals. We will discuss all things Knicks, everything Knicks as well. Be on the lookout for our Man Cave series. I'm really putting that together for the fans. We're going to put it on the YouTube channel. And also, our top 10 hot KGYR players. Not all the time, but it's a what have you done for us lately? KGYR episode talking Knicks, Giants, Yankee, Rangers. So, well, on the Big Blue Roundtable, we're going to talk undrafted free agents because we already know who's been drafted. We talked about Evan Engram. We talked about Dalvin Thomas, who has gotten his contract, the 4-year, $4.5 million with almost a one and a half signing bonus. We talk, Davis Webb, controversial pick, Giants, Wayne Gallman, Avery Moss, Bisnat Wadi from Pittsburgh. We know those guys. We've talked about it week in and week out. You guys talked about it on social media, on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram nonstop. But what about all the other guys that's on the table? What about the undrafted free agents? Have stakeholders done their homework? Have they looked at who's on the table, who's on board, that's come on to the Giants that, you know, right now, the rookie sessions right now, as we speak with the New York football Giants, are they talking about Keon Johnson or Roman Dulach or Colin Thompson or Travis Rudolph, Josh Banks or Calvin Munson? What about all these guys, Shane Smith, What about Jalen Williams? What about all these other guys and more? Jaren Jones from Notre Dame, who had a start of a promising career, and we would like to discuss that as well. But the dialogue, Big Blue Roundtable, on the undrafted guys. I would like to hear what the stakeholders have got to say when it comes to the undrafted folks as well. And it should be an interesting dialogue tonight with the stakeholders, man. Right now, going to the BleeBlueShow.com, opening up the queue. Let's talk Giants football. And it's great to hear from the diehard himself, Mr. Tailgate himself. Matter of fact, he should be inducted to the Diehard Fan Hall of Fame one day. That is the Worm. Worm, big Yankee fan, big Giants fan, Devils fan as well. Worm, what's up, dude? How's everything?
What's going on?
My dude, what's going on, man?
Nothing, you know, as we're celebrating Derek Jeter week this week, I just want to give a shout-out to our captain that helped us win so many big games, gave us a lot of heart, gave us blood, sweat, everything he had. He was clutch player in the core four. And I just want to give the man a great shout-out, especially that diving catch he made into the stands against the Red Sox. And even the flip play against Giambi in the ALDS. That helped him get to another World Series and win. But big shout out to our captain number two, Derek Jeter.
I mean, without a doubt, growing up in this generation, Derek Jeter is a legend in New York sports, not just Yankee sports, but New York sports. And to do it the way he has done it, with class, productivity, and just goes about the game the right way. Five World Series championships. A dynasty within there, future Hall of Famer, Derek Jeter, the captain. And I believe it should be the last single-digit number for the Yankees to be retired. I mean, they have everything else.
That's
I think
it.
Two is
last. Yeah, there is. There's no more single-digit numbers, and Pineda just got another strikeout. That's nice. I'm watching the Yankee game as I'm talking. And, you know, I can't wait to be in attendance Sunday night as I get to see my captain's number retired. It's going to be
a sweet
night.
That is an honor. And versus the first place team that night, too, and the Astros. Yeah. Jeter is, wow. I think the last 20 years, he may be number one in New York sports. Maybe he's not the most athletic. He's not the most talented. But all around leadership and productivity – in offense, defense, he's a great Yankee, man, pinstripes, man. Let me ask you something. Going back to the undrafted folks, for the Giants. What are your thoughts as far as what the Giants have brought in for the undrafted free agents? I'll give my take as well. I wanted to see, is there anybody right now that you've kept your eye on?
There's a couple. I can't think of the names off the top of my head. I like the receiver they brought in from Florida State. And I'm like
talking about
Travis
Rudolph.
Yeah. I like the kid. I want to see what he's going to do in rookie camp, and I want to see what he's going to do in training camp. I think that's gonna be. You know, a person to watch that could be a threat to, you know, Tarvaris King and could be a threat to Roger Lewis. If he doesn't make the team out of camp, I think he's going to be on a practice squad and we're going to see him up within the next, you know, year or two with the big boys on Sundays. I think the kid's got a lot of talent. I love his hands. And I like the kid out of Notre Dame. I think he's going to be some talent.
You talking about Jaren Jones?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think there's going to be a lot of nice position battles. And I'm really interested to see what's going on. And the other interesting thing I'm looking at is, you know, he's not an undrafted free agent, but is Mark Herzlick switching his number to a eligible receiver number. You know, possibly coming and playing tight end. I like the kid. He's physical. He's got a lot of heart. That's going to be an interesting position to look at in camp, too, because right now we're stacked at the tight end position, and I want to see maybe this is going to extend his career a little bit, maybe get some PT on offense. Mm-hmm. I think that could be a big X factor for them.
All right. Let's start with those 3 points, the ones exactly you listed. Now, Travis Rudolph, I think, see, with the wide receivers, when it comes to the undrafted free agents, I looked at the list, Worm. I thought throughout the list, I thought the wide receiver was the least need of what we currently got. But you never know with injuries, so you kind of have to take a peek and see what they've done. I had to go back and watch a little bit of the Florida State games. And Rudolph is a good game. Like you said, he has good hands, good body control, good guy. You would hope that he pushes the last receiver that's going to make the roster. You know, just keep him on notice. Keep him right there available. That's the thing when it comes to Rudolph is pushing other guys, pushing them, you know, like you said, like Tavares King and Roger Lewis, those type of guys. Do I think he's going to make the roster? I doubt it. I think the Giants are so stacked. And that thing with the domino effect, to your third point where Herzlick, and also you add in Evan Engram, you have a log jam at those two positions. So, you know, we're on board. We're all eye to eye with Rudolph. But I think we'll see how it goes when it gets to Ken. Now, Jaren Jones, now I want to get to him as well when we bring on other stakeholders. Because Jaren Jones, I watched some of his tape at Notre Dame. Because remember, he's coming off a torn MCL a couple years ago, something like that. And he's about 6'5", 315 pounds. He's a pass rusher. He's no run stuffer. He's no Jonathan Hankins. He's more Sue than anything. He's more pass rusher. And I think he slipped out of the draft due to health reasons. But the way they used him in Notre Dame, they had him at a lot of times they ran a 4-3 set, but they had a standing outside linebacker at times running the 3-4. He could play a little bit of nose tackle, but as you know, Giants run a 4-3. You're going to line them at defensive tackle over the center, between the center and the guard. And he has a knack for the ball. I saw it. He's really good at going after the running backs. He's really good at a knack for losses in the backfield from what I saw. And I think there's a position for him if the Giants, I'm not exactly sure as far as number of defensive tackles they're going to carry, but he will compete. Robert Thomas and Jay Bromley, those guys are on notice because this guy's going to help make them work at defensive tackle. And your last point on Herzlick. Okay, go ahead. What's your point? What was you saying?
I'm sorry, Deep. The other one that I'm looking at, too, is the offensive tackle out of Tennessee, Dunker.
From Tennessee State. Yeah, from the from Nashville.
You're talking
about Jessamyn Dunker. I looked at some of his take, too. I will he's going to be a guard. He's probably going to be a guard.
He's going to be a guard. I love his hands. I love his feet work, and he swings his hips around real quick. I see him coming in and playing guard, you know, competing a little bit. I don't know if he's, you know, going to be the answer for right now, but I think he's going to create some competition for us.
Yeah, that's what we need out of these guys is competition. I don't think we're looking at undrafted – I'm not talking about you, but talking about our whole fan base or any fan base that we're looking for diamond in the rough. We want diamond in the rough, but that's not likely. My last point, we'll bring on other callers, and – We're talking about you said Herzlick as far as tight end. Now, see, that's an interesting move because of what he has played over the years, or you know his position linebacker. That's interesting of what they're going to try to attempt to do with that. We'd like to even get other stakeholders' position on that as well. So as we bring on other guys and gals as well, we're going to go back through the lineup and bring them on live on the BleedBlueShow.com. as well. And shout outs to the people right before we aired on Facebook Live and also on Instagram. It was great dialogue with the fans on both social media platforms. I couldn't do this live tonight on air because I'm really under the weather. I'm trying to fight through this. But let's bring on Chantel the Rebel, man. Get her thoughts. How you doing, Chantel? Be on mute.
I am on mute.
Oh, hi. How you doing? Did you want her to speak or you just listening in?
No, I was listening and, yeah, I was going to speak.
Oh, sure, sure. Please.
Yeah.
Say hello
this
to the
one. Actually,
say hello to one.
Hello. Hi, Warren.
Hey, how's it going?
Hi. I just wanted
I love
to
when
say
Die
that.
Hard fans speak together. I love when Die Hard fans
speak together. Well, don't be too mean to me because I am shy. But anyway, this believe it or not, this is like that time of year where like I really try to get into and watch because as a Giants fan, you know, I was able to watch Victor Cruz and see his story and see how he came from nothing and just went to like being a Super Bowl champion. So this is like that time where, you know, you focus on who really has the grit, like who really wants it. Which one of you undrafted free agents wants to prove 32 teams wrong for not drafting you? And there's not like a whole lot of guys that, you know, that really piqued my interest. There's really only two. You know, it's just Jessamyn Dunker and the other guy, Chad Wheeler. And I was reading up on their profiles, and Dunker, I have to agree with you. I think that Dunker is, you know, initially they might put him at guard, but they say that, you know, when I was reading that he's really versatile. So, like, you know, God forbid somebody get hurt, you know, you could probably put him on the left side maybe. You know, it's something to look out for. And then you have Wheeler who, like, you know, people, when I'm reading it, people talking about, oh, he's nasty. Oh, like, he holds down his side. And then, like, you know, you look at his negatives about, you know, he has some, you know, a couple of off-field issues. And he had an ACL tear back in 2014, I believe. I think he had, like, a shoulder injury. I think that was 2015. Like, he has, you know, he has injury history, but the thing is he's an undrafted free agent, so it's not so much of a loss to me. The only time I would like, oh my God, why would you do that, is if you drafted him. But being an undrafted free agent, you know, like, most of it is on you. Like, you have to put yourself out there. Like, you have a lot to prove here. And you, like, you're basically, you're getting another chance at life here that a couple of guys probably won't even get. So those two I'm really looking forward to. And if anything, they might end up just knocking out, like, Adam Gattis, who I would love to see go. I would enjoy to see him leaving. I mean, I ordered another drink during the Bears game, I believe it was, because he came in. I couldn't even stand it. So, you know, that's
like
who I'm looking at.
He
sure was. Oh, one other thing. I'm so glad. Worm, I'm really glad that you brought up, like, the Mark Hurtler thing, that he's not really so much, you know, not being an undrafted free agent, just that, you know, you're trying out, you're competing, which also brings me to, and I know that it kind of sounds a little ridiculous, but just hear me out. You also have Darian Thompson, it's not his rookie year, but this year he's playing his rookie year because he got hurt. And now he has to compete with this guy, the undrafted free agent from last year. What's his name?
Adams.
Yeah. It's so funny because I was talking to Chris, and Chris was like, Chantel, after this Skins game, I never want to see Adams on the field again. But dude, he held his own.
I heard you at the Bromley. The side conversations outside of Bleach Blue Show. I hear you at the Bromley.
Okay, but seriously. But, Adams is going to give Darian Thompson he's going to give him some competition, which I'm looking forward to. And as long as he stays healthy, he's really going to live up to what he was in college, to the videos that I was able to watch. and being that a third round pick last year, he's really gonna live up to it and going next to Landon Collins. He might show out. So, you know, everybody who's competing, especially the guys that I'm personally watching, I wish you all the luck in the world.
Hey, Warren, what you have to say to Chantel's comments as far as her thoughts on Chad Wheeler, the tackle from Southern California, Darian Thompson's really rookie year, which is actually a great point. I didn't even really think about it like that, but she's absolutely correct. And then also Dunker. You already touched on Dunker.
From my years of being a Giants fan, I've learned one thing. When they're really high on a player, they're going to play him. No matter how good, you know, somebody else was beforehand, I think Jerry Reese, the front office, and the coaching staff is in love with Darian Thompson. Come opening night in, you know, Giants Stadium in Texas, I think Darian Thompson's going to be the other safety alongside Landon Collins. I really do. I think Adams will get some PT, but I think they're just too high on Darian Thompson. And the other one that they're really high on is B.J. Goodson. And I think you're going to see him get a lot of burn this year as well. I don't think he beats out Keenan Robinson, but I think B.J. Goodson's going to get his fair share of snaps at linebacker.
As far as offensive tackle, I like the kid. You know, I agree with Chantel. I'm not a fan of Adam Gettis. I'm really not. I don't like his technique. I think he's sloppy. Not as sloppy as Eric Flowers, but I think he's sloppy, and I think we can improve. And I like, you know, bringing in the ones that we brought in, you know, with the UFAs to add some competition, because if you don't have competition behind you, you're going to get lax, you're going to get lazy, and you'll be like, you know what? I know, you know, how shitty training camp might go. I'm still going to make the team because I ain't got nobody behind me, and it's any better. And I think that's what, you know, Coach McAdoo did a great job with Jerry Reese of bringing in these free agents.
All right.
I'm happy with the offensive tackles they brought in. I think they'll compete. The other one that I'm really interested in seeing is the safety that we signed out of Clemson as well. I think he might compete a little bit for, you know, to make the team.
Who, Jajar Johnson?
Yeah.
Okay, what about, if you could expand on that, what do you like about Jajar Johnson? And as far as, you know, making, who do you think he's going to make work in the back end of our defensive backfield?
We all know Landon Collins is the flat-out starter. There's no competition for him. I think he's going to give Adams, you know, some trouble. I think he might give Darian Thompson some trouble. I could see maybe he makes a team as depth because, you know, you can always use him on special teams. I think he's got a great sense of the ball. I think he's got great football instincts, and his football IQ is very high. He's got good football smarts. And, you know, that's what I look for is those intelligent ball players that can get violent and get nasty too, and that has a nose for the ball. I would love to see this kid make the 53-man roster once we start. But I don't see him beating out, you know, Darian Thompson. I think he's going to be the flat-out, you know, number two safety behind Landon. But I do think this kid could make the team.
Okay. Let me go back through Chantel's thoughts, and we'll bring on another caller. She started off with Darian Thompson as a rookie. Good point. Didn't even really think about it like that, but she's absolutely correct. So, in essence, you're actually playing with a true – he's really playing in his true rookie season. So, I definitely feel her on that. She brought up the tackle, Chad Wheeler, and I watched a couple of his games on tape earlier this week. He had a good career. He was a four-year starter, and he was an All-American. He has decent balance. He has good balance. For a left tackle playing in the Pac-12, he kind of has a good pull game when you want to run the ball outside. He's pretty okay when it comes to that. So, you know, you're getting somebody who's played a lot of experience at Southern California, usually a pro-style type of offense. Okay, he's okay. But his concerns and probably why he didn't get drafted is in light, like most of these guys on the undrafted list on any team is they're injury prone. Sometimes he could take plays off. He could if you watch some of the games, plays going towards him. He doesn't finish plays the way you like to see a left tackle finish plays. I saw a couple of plays. I think it was against Arizona and UCLA, where he would kick out and he would sustain leverage. And he get to the second level on play, some plays here and there. And then some other plays, it looks lackadaisical. He missed some blocks. Run blocking wise, I don't see him getting, and especially in the NFL, I don't see that his type of player getting to the next level, like the linebacker level, consistently to really kick out faster, stronger NFL type linebackers. He had a couple penalties here and there. He's a little bit reachy. He struggled versus 3-4 defenses, especially stand up linebackers on coming off the right edge, which be his left side. So Chad Wheeler, I think he's not going to make the team. I think he could push guys. You would hope he helps push guys in practice. I think you mentioned. Dunker. I think Dunker, watching some of a little bit of the games, it's really hard to find tapes on Tennessee State. But I think he's a guard, man. I don't see him as a tackle. I think he's got a guard type of body. But at those smaller schools at Tennessee State, he's probably the biggest guy on the field. But he's more of a guard. He's decent, and you would like to see him make some push as well. And Warren, with your point on Jadar Johnson as far as Clemson, that's an interesting point. I didn't really look at it like that as far as Adams. I would think, he's going to force the action with Adams as far as making the team or fighting for a roster spot. But Adams played – I thought Adams had a good rookie year, but he – it's kind of a what have you done for me lately, and I think that's what the training camp is all about, like these type of guys. I have other guys I definitely wanted to talk about as well that I thought was interesting, like the defensive tackle Josh Banks from Wake Forest, Evan Schwann from Penn State, and then also the couple of the other tight ends you brought. They brought in DeLoach, and then the other wide receiver from Virginia, Keon Johnson. But before we go into all that, let's talk to Chris and get his thoughts. The Bleed Blue Show, Chris, is joined us.
Hey. What's up, everyone? How you doing? What's going on?
Oh,
man. Hey, look. You know what? Everybody, Worm, Chantel, you guys, you're on your point, man. This is what makes this wonderful, wonderful forum. Giants fans are so knowledgeable. You know, I have my eye on three people, Steve. I really like Jerron Jones, the defensive tackle out of Notre Dame. I do like Chad Wheeler. I do like Jessamyn Duncan. And I do believe that Jadar Johnson is kind of a wild card here. You know, he's not great. His position fit is really free safety. He's a center fielder, though, for the most part. The guy can't tackle. He shies away from it, I should say. And that's going to hurt him in terms of playing time, unless someone gets hurt. I think he can push Butt Burhey, Mr. Concussion there. I think he can push the two Thompson guys because I don't know how shy these guys are. They're basically all in the same boat, like Chantel referred to. You know, they're all rookies as far as I'm concerned. So they're all fighting for the same thing. So what's the word for it? It's no contest here, you know. But he has a chance, so I'm gonna give him a little bit of something here. He's from Clemson. He does know something, you know. He tracks the ball well. He does a solid job of pretty much outplaying the receiver in the air, things of that nature, you know. So he's good. You know, he can use. He's good in certain man-to-man situations. He's all right. But he's a very poor tackler, and that's going to hurt him because he overruns plays and he doesn't break down effectively in space at all. So that's what's going to kill him. Other than that, he has a chance. Jessamyn Duncan, man, you know, he's out of Tennessee State, but you got to remember he was at Florida at first. He was at Florida at first. He did something stupid. I think he stole a car or whatever, and, you know, or he robbed a scooter. I don't know what the hell the deal was. But anyway, he pretty much got out of there. He was suspended out of Florida quietly. He went down a level to Tennessee State, so he wouldn't have to sit a year. And he bounced between tackle and guard, but hey, he came out pretty smelling pretty good. He's all conference there for 2 years. He's purely, I think, a guard prospect. I don't know, because basically I'm just basing it on his competition from Tennessee State, you know. But I think he is big enough and can handle. I think he's a two-down player that can handle fill-in spots throughout our line, particularly on the left side. I think he can handle it. Whether he makes the team or not is another thing, but, you know, I think he's good enough for a look and a roster spot. Chad Wheeler, man, you got to remember, when he came to USC, he was Mr. Everything for a minute. You know, they lauded him as the next big thing, man, the next All-American this and that and all. And he did, you know, he did play 4 years there, and he did start the entire time. And he did have an All-American nod there, and he got a Rose Bowl victory and all that other good stuff. But, hey, man, when you get one of those injuries that harms your mobility, it doesn't matter whether you're 6'6 or not, man. If you're working on the offensive line, man, you need the kind of athleticism and the movement skills that are going to, you know, translate to starting play in the NFL, especially in this particular division, man. I don't know if he has it or not. Yes, he does. He's never really had the pad level. I don't really know what's going on. He had those knee injuries, as you guys alluded to before. I'm not really sure, but I do believe that he's a tough cat that will eke out a job on this weak line that we have. I think somehow he'll make it. I just don't know what the overall love with him is. I know he had a run in with the cops, you know, during the Holiday Bowl. They put him under psychiatric evaluation for a minute. I don't know what the hell's going on, but I do know that hurt his draft status completely, as you can see. But he's here now, and he's worth a look, particularly given our line situation. But I really do like Jaren Jones, Steve. I really do. He had that torn MCL. Before, well, it was not last year, it was the year before, I think 2015. Mm-hmm. So, but he, you know, and also he was a redshirt anyway, as a freshman, if I remember correctly. And look, he already used that. He battled back. I mean, his redshirt eligibility, he used his eligibility up. He battled back. You know, he played a few snaps in the Fiesta Bowl, got hurt again. People just forgot about him, kind of, sort of. And, he was kind of a weak link, man. When you get hurt in college like that a few times, that people forget about you, man. But he played at Notre Dame. He has good power. He's got good length. He has a nice bull rush, which we definitely need on the defensive line anytime. We just need him for two snaps anyhow. Okay? He's got size and power. You know, he does a nice job of reaching out and snatching those ball carriers, man, sort of like Lendell used to for us, man. And, you know, he's that kind of cat. You know, I think he's tough. I don't know how long he can stay upright. Sometimes, you know, if you ever watch him in college, he kind of gets washed out of the, yeah, I know you've seen him, Steve. He gets washed out of the hole. He doesn't have the same effort to snap the whistle. I understand that, man. But he can fill a roster spot, too. Okay, he used to be, this guy just a couple of years ago was a first-round pick on paper, okay? And I think he has something to prove now, as do all of these cats. I'm thinking that we probably have a diamond in the rough here. I'm thinking that's what we have. He's from Rochester, New York, so obviously he has people in the area. He knows exactly what he's up against. He's probably going to fit right in with this group on this line anyway. They're very good teachers. It's not a nice crew to be associated with. I think he may surprise us. I'm looking at him. I'm looking at Jaren Jones of Notre Dame, defensive tackle. Bro.
All right. Let's go back to Chantel and then go back to Worm. But Chantel, Chris had his
Hi,
point
Chantel.
On They on the same. There's no bromance since y'all on the show.
I got you.
It sounds like Worm and Chris are on the same coaching staff because they scouted out Jaren Jones, Dunker.
Yeah, I love
definitely,
Jones, and
Jadar Johnson. But Chantel, how do you feel about Jadar Johnson? If you saw any of his tape at Clemson and being the Nat Burhey killer, how do you feel about
Nat Burhey
some killer. Of the guys? Yeah, some of the points Chris has made and other points that Worm and I have made. And then we'll go to Worm.
Let me embarrass myself by saying I wasn't even listening to you guys. I was doing some research. I was I'm really sorry.
Research is good.
I was actually because I wanted to make a point about, like, you know, undrafted free agents. And I wanted to ask you guys, like, did we bring in any corners? Like, undrafted free agent corners?
Did we bring any corners? I only saw safeties and mostly tight ends and a couple of DNs. I don't recall seeing a cornerback, honestly. I don't remember.
Nigel Tribune, Steve. One guy named Nigel Tribune. He's out of Iowa State. That's the only corner I saw.
Oh, a Cyclone. I didn't get him. Oh, no, I didn't see
that.
Yeah,
Nigel
right.
Tribune. I don't have any tape on him or nothing, but that's the only, but his name is on that on the listing. That's all I saw, man.
That's a good point that you brought that up. You would think of all the undrafted free agents, you would think you would bring us some corners, man.
Right, because outside of Jackrabbit, Apple, and DRC, who I am certain this is his last year with us, you would think we'd have a little bit of corner depth on us and that we would bring in a free undrafted free agent corner, and we didn't. I mean, I think we signed two. I forgot who the – no. When I was reading it, it was Dante Dion and Valentino Blake was going to – No. Is it from last year? Because, like, when, you know, Valentino. Right. And then we brought in this guy, Valentino Blake, to, like, you know, to try and, you know, make it for our corners. And I was reading up on this guy, and I do not like, bruh, do you guys remember during, and I hate to take you back to the Green Bay game, when Bobby Rainey did that bullshit? And pinned us back. Valentino Blake did the same thing to the Titans and had the nerve to celebrate it. I'm like, bruh, did you really just bring this dude in who pins his own team back deep in their own territory after the punt to compete? Like, I'm looking at it, yes, he's got a couple of smooth picks, you know, he stays with this guy, he comes out, he makes the play, he even has a couple of pick sixes, but we're too thin at corner. We're too thin at corner, and it greatly bothers me. Sure, you could say, well, there's Leon Hall and blah, blah, just no. I'm a little bit nervous because we don't have a whole lot of competition at corner, and outside of our three starters, who are we gonna get?
Worm, do you have any thoughts on Chantel's concerns at cornerback? Anything other points you would like to make on undrafted players as well? Then I'll go back to Chris. But Worm, Chantel's question and anything else you'd like to say?
I am absolutely concerned at cornerback for these two instances. We're playing the Eagles in Shitdelphia, you know, on a Thursday night. And we lose JJ. Spagnuolo's play calling changed 100%. We go to Green Bay in the playoffs. We lose DRC. Spagnuolo's play calling changes 100% because he doesn't trust what he has back there coming off the bench. They didn't address cornerback at all. I like Leon Hall, yeah, but we need, you know, another, you know, 1-2 punch just in case, you know, DRC or Jackrabbit goes down. As far as my comment, you know, with Chad Wheeler in mind, he was given a $20,000 signing bonus with the Giants. He got the highest out of all the UFAs that they brought in. So, I mean, that's why I kind of think, you know, they are high on him, and I wouldn't be surprised if he makes the team. The other interesting thing that we haven't had last season due to injury is a fullback. They signed, you know, Shane Smith out of, I believe, was San Jose State. Kid's a beast. Very strong. He only carried the ball, I believe, 25 times in his 4 years, you know, in college, but he's a solid blocker. And he would lead the way for Perkins and, you know, whoever else is running the ball for us. He's 6'1", 244, and I'm almost sure he power cleans 335, 340, and I think he deadlifts almost 560. If you can get some quick tape on that kid, this is going to be year of the fullback when the Giants go back, you know, at the fullback position. You know, instead of going with the three receiver set and one running back, I think we're going to finally have a, you know, decent fullback back there. You know, if they decide to move Rhett Ellison back, or, you know, his kid Shane Smith makes the team, and we still have Will Johnson coming off of, you know, injury when he got injured in preseason last year, which is the fullback we signed. I believe he was from Pittsburgh. I hope I didn't throw too much at y'all.
Let me try to follow a lot of that up. Yeah, I think you were right about, from what I remember, with Wheeler getting the bigger sign-on bonus. I expanded my thoughts on Wheeler, and Chris made some points early on as far as him being the next guy at USC at the time a few years back. Watching, like I said, when watching his tape, I don't know. I got to look at the schedule. I don't remember who's on in a lot of the 3-4 defenses. I thought he struggled against linebackers in particular. I mean, you don't see a lot of 3-4s, maybe not this year on the schedule. I think we got Denver. Philly's not a 3-4. Dallas is not a 3-4. Redskins are a 3-4. So you would worry about the outside linebacker in two games. But even with that said, I don't see him starting over Ereck Flowers anyway. I don't see that at all. Other guys that – yeah. So, I mean, that's the other flip side of it. I'm not – you know, we're not talking like – you know, you never know, but the chances are unlikely. Now, I'm going to go back to a guy Chris did mention that. I watched probably the most tape out of all of them was Jaren Jones out of Notre Dame. He's about 6'5", 315 pounds. You could line him up. He's got a very big knack for the ball, man. He really strived in some of the games in the ACC. Well, you know, they don't play in the ACC, but when they play ACC-type teams, played over center, over the guard. He had a lot of stuff. I would say stuff in the run, but he gets in the backfield. So if you got, like, a team that has a fast running back, he made a lot of good plays chasing down running backs in the backfield for tackles for losses. I really love that about him. He's a Jay Bromley killer. He's going to make Jay Bromley work this offseason. I really love that about Jaren Jones. And matter of fact, like Chris made the point, he's right. He had the torn MCL a couple years back. He's very versatile. He's a dimension that's not like a mountain of a defensive tackle that's going to plug in holes like A and B gaps. He's going to slide through those gaps and make plays. And you question his motor a little bit, not like the tackle I was mentioning earlier with Wheeler, but I like Jaren Jones. I think if there ever was a player out of the guys that we brought in, it may be him, and I think I'm glad that Chris brought him up to really solidify the back end of the defensive tackles. Another guy we did not mention, I don't know if you guys did your homework on Evan Schwann, the defensive end from Penn State. How you guys feel about him? He's about 6'6", 260 pounds. He played left defensive end, so he's going up against right tackles. He's not really a fast defensive end. He's not a speedster. He's decent against the run. He's not really the game changer. So you know the Giants like the front. They like the front seven. They like the defensive line. They like guys that could bring quality of depth. So be on the lookout for a guy like Evan Schwann, Penn State. A guy, I think he was all Big Ten on the second or third team, something like that. Other than that, there's a couple of guys, you know, I'm not impressed about Calvin Munson, the linebacker from SDSU, San Diego State. I know I wanted to bring in some linebackers and really compete, even potentially for the spot, because I already know that that's a position that's depleted. Watching some of the games, Calvin Munson at San Diego State, man, I mean, he's definitely not the tackling machine I watch. See, when you bring in somebody from that program, I don't want them just to compete for a special team spot. You got to get on the roster. I don't think he did enough, in my opinion, at San Diego State, causing havoc sideline to sideline or north and south, watching his games at San Diego State. Is there any other people that I am personally missing? I think we covered most of them from what I saw. So, you know, we talked about Wheeler, we talked about Jaren Jones. I really like Jaren Jones. Ja'Jarr Johnson, and my last point before we go back to Chris, about Ja'Jarr Johnson, he's kind of a taller type of safety-ish. He's a safety, I guess. He's about 6 feet tall. Not necessarily all that fast, but he's got good character. You already know Giants like choir boys. Giants like students. They like guys who are not going to be knuckleheads. And Ja'Jarr Johnson is definitely not a knucklehead. He's a good character guy. He's a championship player on the Clemson's defense, and he's made a gang of tackles and interceptions in his Clemson career. So he could be a dark horse. And to go back to the point Chantel had made about the cornerbacks, which is something they could have addressed in the draft, all those cornerbacks available, especially rounds 2 through 5, why not entertain that situation back at the draft? See, they still have Dante. Chris knows. I've been on the Bleed Blue show for the last year screaming for Dante Dion to get on the field. For whatever reason, we already know it's his height, that they're not going to allow him to really shine like the way he was shining in the defensive backfield with Darian Thompson at Boise State. I hope the kid gets a chance, maybe some practice time. Maybe he'll get bumped up to that last corner spot, because damn for sure it was in Trevin Wade. We all said that here on this show. Trevin Wade was a bum. We stick by that as a collective stakeholder unit. And I'd like to see other cornerbacks who are going to walk into the roster. If Chris could tell us about the cornerback from Iowa State, in which I didn't really realize about that, feel free to fire away, Chris, as well as any other thoughts, Matt, as well on undrafted folks.
I don't know much about him. I know he was honorable mention Big 12 2 years in a row, but that's honorable mention. I don't know anything about him. I know that he had a let me look at my thing here. I just know that they show his 40 time, 4.49. I've never seen the guy play, and I can't find any film on him, Steve. Sorry about that, man. That's all I know about the guy. And he was honorable mention. And here's the thing. He was honorable mention 2 years ago, and it doesn't say anything about last year. So I have no tape on to review it at all. But I want to go back to something that you said earlier, man, which you always steal my thunder, man. I knew you were going to ask the question about anybody else that steals a wild card, a dark horse, anything. And Evan Schwann was my guy. So this is what I was thinking. He's different. He never really played much, man. I mean, he started, I think, let me give it back. He got on a roster about 4 years ago, got into about maybe 3 games. In 2015 or 14, I want to say 14, he played every game, but he was a special teamer. Okay, he still didn't do it by 2015 or so. Let me see, go back to two years. Yeah, okay, yeah, he was supposed to be a starter, but something happened. He got a few injuries, not life threatening injuries, but he still managed to play just about every game, and he was part of the rotation, so he was just a participant, if you will. But last year, okay, he finally came into his own. He got 6 sacks. I'm not really sure how many tackles, but he did lead the team in tackles. He got on the All-Big Ten third team, which is pretty good. But he didn't show up at the combine, so no one really watched him. Okay, but one thing's for sure, he's improved every year that he's been there at Penn State. Penn State plays a monster schedule, as you know. Okay, he's been bulking up. He's 6'6". He's intriguing. He's a solid pass rusher. He gets in the backfield all the time if you watch him. All the time he ends up in the backfield. Okay, and this is the cat. This is the team that he's a part of right now. Okay, now I truly believe that he is really, really a dark horse here. I think he can make this roster. He's going to be slow. You know, of course, he's going to be a second teamer. But if you give him a little light, I'm pretty sure. There's going to be kind of bold here, all right? But I'm pretty sure if you give this cat a little light, just a little bit light, you're not going to see – you're going to see him in the latter part of the year push a few people. Your Kerry Wins, maybe – I know probably your Cora, if he's still around by that time. I don't know.
I have a question. Can I butt in? I have a question on specific.
Yes.
Do you think him coming in is the – putting double O, remember I said double O was a project.
Oh.
You guys jumped on me when I said that at the time when we brought him on from UCLA. I told you he was a project. It turns out to be he is the project. Evan Schwann, is he the double? Is this the fate for double O? I guess that's probably the answer I'm looking at right defensively.
First of all, I'm apologize to you because, yes, I did say that he shouldn't be, that this guy's going to be a monster. Double O has showed me nothing. And I think some of that is coaching, but he still hasn't excelled. So, yeah. All right. So, my apologies there. He's going to push double O right
apologies
off of this roster. He's going to push double O right off of this roster. I'm positive. That positive of Evan Schwann. That positive. He's a locker room guy that has this infectious personality, and that's going to really endear him to the Giant faithful on that defensive line. I'm here to tell you. That helps really big to have a personality with these guys. And, you know, I mean, once he gets around the Pierre Pauls and the Snacks and Vernons, I think it's going to show. It's going to come out. So, yeah, I'm big on him, Steve. You asked me something earlier. Tribune, nothing. I have nothing on the guy. Sorry about that. I don't know if he's even going to make it. But I do believe that we do have a problem. You know, I'm with Worm. We do have a problem. We should do a little bit. We should have more bodies at corner here. You know, I mean, one quick wipe out from DRC or Jackrabbit or I don't want to say his name because I can't stand him, Mr. Twitter. You know, we're done. We're pretty much done, man, and we do need some depth back there, and I'm surprised that there's not more bodies in camp for that, for the corner spot. I really am. I think another thing I like to say real quick, I don't know how we're doing because I haven't heard of anything about it, but we also need a kicker or two to try out for this team, okay? And that's badly because everybody's overlooking that, but I don't see any improvement in that area. So that's another one. So
I've been screaming that for a while.
Yeah, and I kind of echoed you, but I thought that would be something else automatic that they would remedy. I haven't heard anything about the kicking game. We need the kicking game.
You're not the only one.
The only legitimate person.
Yeah, go ahead.
The only legitimate person I would even attempt to give a look at that's a free agent is Dan Carpenter. Other than that, there's not much.
I would too. So,
I mean, there's a couple guys I think that's still available. I guess you're right. There's Dan Carpenter. He's been around for a while. How many seasons? 10 now? It's got to be like 10 seasons. He's a veteran kicker. So he might have to roll with that, honestly. Wasn't he last with the Buffalo Bills or was it the
He was with the Bills. He was with the Bills.
I have a
Bills friend who could probably get some insight on him for me. Like if I asked him, I meant to ask him, but was let go from the Bills to for them to bring in Hoshka, who was another tragedy.
Yeah. Oh, from
Seattle.
Wasn't
he a Cowboy at one point?
He was a Cowboy, early in his career, correct. So
that's what I thought.
So you would hope, as the only veterans as far as kickers, he's available, so I don't know what the holdup is. Is it contract? I mean, he has no job. Giants need a kicker. Make it happen. I don't know. Let's go back to Chantel. Chantel, you just brought up a shitstorm with the cornerback situations.
and you know something? It really bothers me that we wouldn't even – I mean, Who is this third round nut job who is all of a sudden in everybody's blog or everybody's article online? Eli's heir apparent. Just hear me out. Brock Osweiler. This NFL comparison is Brock fucking Osweiler. Brock fucking toilet water. You couldn't waste that draft pick on a corner. You couldn't go in the third round and get a corner. As deep as supposedly the draft was at corner, you couldn't go and do that. And then to make matters worse, Reese, you have to be watching the NFC East around you. Like, the Skins, they go and bring in Terrell Pryor. The Eagles go out and get Alshon Jeffrey, and I think they got Torrey Smith. They got somebody else. I think it was Torrey Smith. I think you sitting there and watching them beat up their wide receiver corps, wouldn't it dawn on you to at least go out or bring in, like, I don't know, like a free agent corner or even an undrafted free agent? Yo, even if you did, I think you guys mentioned one. That's only one. That's only one. Who outside of our starting three, there's nobody else on that roster. I mean, for Christ's sake, Trevon Wade shouldn't even be here. He shouldn't have a job with us.
Neither should Nate Burhey.
Maybe if you want to put Burhey there, if you want to, then fine, but that still doesn't make up for, like, the lack of depth.
No,
you know?
I'm saying I would cut him, too.
You can definitely cut Nat Burhey. Nat Burhey is sooner to thump himself before he puts a hurt on somebody else. Every time this one makes a hit, he hurts himself. So, and he can, I'm pretty sure you guys don't even remember him, but this other clown, Michael Thompson, who was also in that draft class, he can pack up and go with him.
Oh God! Yeah, he's softer than a Hostess cupcake.
Yeah. Very, so very soft.
That's pretty damn soft, right there.
I mean, there's
another project.
Just...
Another project I called out. Another project.
Oh God! Here you go.
No, it's okay. You know what? I don't too much mind you guys coming in and just adding your little insight on, you know, what I have to say. You know, we're all fans here. We're all having an honest conversation. So, you know, that's just how I feel. You know, that the fact that you're in your shiny office, and granted, you know, last year I said, here, Jerry Reese, take my weekly check and buy yourself a blowjob at the nearest strip club with it. You would think that you try to build up a little bit more on your free agency. I'm not saying I knew we weren't going to make a splash, but when you're looking at like some of the depth here, mainly your corners, something has to stick out at you. You know, something's got to give. And I'm not, you know, downing him for the free agents that he bought in, like, you know, like Rhett Ellison. I'm not doubting him. It's just that, you know, you had a glaring need that's just staring at you in the face, and you really didn't do anything about it. And
the
fact that you got
Rhett Ellison.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry to keep cutting you off.
Go ahead.
I think they overpaid for Rhett Ellison. I think $18 million is way too much for a blocking tight end, but that's just me personally.
No, I can understand where you're coming from. The only thing is, the only reason I would kind of give it any kind of leeway is just, like, look how shitty our blocking has been last year. You kind of would, like, you know, I can see him having that impulse to, like, oh, my God, I have to sign this guy because our blocking is that full of shit. I can give him that little leeway because of how bad we was. But at the same time, yes, I can definitely agree with you that, you know, that he was overpaid.
I could, too. I thought it was a little excessive, too. But I will say this, getting back to the undrafted free agents, I do believe that Dunker and Wheeler have real legitimate shots at getting on this line and doing a pretty spectacular job, both of them. I know they have, you know, right now it's kind of it looks a little shoddy, but these were guys that were at top-notch programs, and you know, they did receive some degree of high-tech coaching, and they performed it at a special level, okay? It's their own demons that got them in this position. I know each one of them know that this is their last chance, okay? We've got a couple of other guys, like we've already mentioned, you know, Johnson Jerron Jones and people like that, who Travis Rudolph, who I think actually makes the squad. You know, don't count them out either. But, you know, there are people here as undrafted free agents that can make a splash with this team. It's not impossible, and can do a good job. So, you know, I'm a little bit on the optimistic side this year, more than I've been in other years. And I just think that we have a chance to really get some special people in here this year that otherwise we'd probably miss out on without more shrewder, more in-depth drafting technique. You know, I always get on Reese because, you know, it always seems like he gets the good guys in the draft, and then he goes and gets the demons as an undrafted free agent. And I didn't think that technique normally worked, but it might just be something else this year. Let's just see what happens.
Oh, I have a question for Chris and Worm. What about Josh Banks out of Wake Forest? I think he's a little bit smaller as a defensive tackle.
He is.
But he's more lean. He's a little more athletic and agility-wise. He has a good swim move. Well, how do you think him going up against or comparison to Jerron Jones out of Notre Dame as far as who do you favor more as far as a player? Josh Banks, you probably could put him – at defensive end as well, but Jerron Jones is traditional defensive tackle as far as getting after the either quarterback or the backfield. Do you want the traditional defensive tackle, or do you want a defensive lineman who could put inside and outside? What is your preference? Is my question as far as Banks or Jones? That's for Worm and Chris and Chantel as well.
Who wants to first?
Ooh, ladies first. Let's go to Chantel and then go to Worm. And then,
ladies first.
And then you. Chantel, do you have a preference on defensive linemen as far as you want a traditional defensive tackle, or you want a guy who can play inside and outside? Inside, A, B, and also on the edges, or do you want somebody to just line them up over the center in the guard and just go after the backfield?
You know, I would probably want somebody who could play inside and outside, just, you know, just because I have this fear of somebody getting hurt. And, you know, just in case we do need to move somebody, I would rather we have somebody who can, you know, who's versatile, who can be moved. You know, if, you know, just having like your traditional, you know, What?
No, nothing.
Oh, no, you're good. Go ahead.
No. I mean, I don't have anything against anybody who's traditional, somebody who you can just put, like, on the edge and you just let them be an edge rusher. I don't have anything against that. It's just me personally, I would prefer somebody who could be moved around.
Right.
All right.
I agree.
All right, Worm, what about you? And then go to Chris. Worm, what about you?
Me personally, I like the Keith Hamilton-sized defensive tackles, you know, the Cornelius Griffin. I want my D tackles, you know, to be big, bruising, physical, smash mouth guys up the middle. I like my defensive ends to be, you know, leaner and quicker on the outside. So I'd have to go with Cat at Notre Dame. You know, I want someone that's going to be able to not, you know, plug up, you know, the holes and push the centers and the guards back into the backfield, push them right in the quarterback's face. So I'd have to call my boy from Notre Dame. And,
all right, Chris,
you know,
what about
we
you?
Do get...
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry, Warren.
Oh, and, you know, last defensive lineman we got out of Notre Dame turned out pretty damn good.
Yeah.
Which, you know.
Well, that's not counting Lewis Nix, is it?
No, I was thinking of JT.
I know.
Yeah.
I you know, I prefer what Worm's assessment is normally, but Chantel's assessment at this time of year makes a little more sense. Everyone needs – it's hard to get a job in this league now, and you have to be a little bit more versatile. You have to be able to do a lot – as a player, you need to do a lot of different things in order to make these rosters. However, from a coaching perspective, they want it's preferred. The worms assessment is more preferred. So you got to be able to be versatile enough to impress and fit in, and to know the scheme of the team that you're going to be able to fit into. So it's kind of it's hard to say. If I'm a fan, I want worms assessment. If I'm a student of the game, where I want to be able to see a guy do a lot more different things to give my team more color and more versatility, I want Chantel's way. So I'm kind of caught both ways, Steve. But to answer your other question about Josh Banks, he's a little small, but I like this guy. He's a hard worker. I do like him. I do like him a lot. He's athletic. He moves well in every direction of the field. You know, I don't think he's very quick. Like I said, I don't think he's very big. I think he could get feel from the action a lot, but he's not that far away. He's not that far away from really performing and being a factor. But you know, again, he's one of those guys. You know, that back in college, you know, he's suspended for this or what team rules or fighting or whatever it is, and that sort of hurt his play, affected him in the rotation, and he gets pushed back a little bit. And then if you do that at a big school that's used to going to bowls and what have you, you sort of get a rep. And his rep cost him, just like it did Dunker, just like it did Wheeler. It keeps going. I think these guys can. I think he has a legitimate chance too. So we'll see. Cap's around the corner.
It's a good debate. I would normally agree with the versatile lineman, inside, outside. I think, this is tough, man, because we have a deficiency at defensive tackle as far as depth when you get to the Jane Bromley level. And if you want to count Jordan Williams on the practice squad, whatever, if you want to go that route. I like them both. I think the Wake Forest kid has more of a motor than the Notre Dame kid. And just watching them finishing plays. But I think I may want to go traditional for the fact because I really want to make sure we have a little bit of run stuffing and pass rush across the board at the defensive tackle position. Meaning you have Snacks who could do a little bit of both. You have Thomason, who's more a little bit more both, but more so run stuffer as well. Robert Thomas could come in and fill in nicely as well. I think if you bring in the guy from Notre Dame, who's probably got a lot to prove, because like you said, Chris, with his MCL injury early on in his career, he had a lot of upside. He probably would have been a higher draft pick if it wasn't for that. He's trying to get back to tape, and he's agile like the Wake Forest kid, Josh Banks, but I think he could get into the inside a lot more better. I'm a guy who prefers the trenches. My preference is guys who the quarterback sees coming and has to run out the pocket, and he's going to run into Olivier Vernon or JPP or a cornerback or a cornerback blitz. So give me the Notre Dame guy, not because I don't favor him, just because it fits more of a need, maybe more so scheme with Spagnuolo.
I'd probably go that route
based off what we currently have. Yeah. Other than that, I probably would have went plug and play, put him in defensive tackle, defensive end, almost like how now you had Nikita Whitlock inside. You got a 5'5 guy playing defensive tackle and actually getting to the quarterback. It was crazy. But let's go back around. Let's get some final thoughts on the undrafted rookies. Let's take your time. And Chantel Rowe, if you have anything on even the draft picks, if you want to share your opinion on what we did with our six picks as well, and anything else from the undrafted free agents that we brought in, any issues with the team, please fire away, and then we'll go to Worm, and then Chris, and then we'll wrap up.
Well, I didn't read as much as I wanted to about Adam Biswanathyan. Like, I read his NFL profile. God damn it, my lap. I read, like, a little bit of his NFL profile. Couldn't remember who his comparison was. But they say that, you know, that he's a good build and that, you know, his handwork is good, but his footwork, I believe, is a little bit floppy. So I think that's something that the Lions coach, Mike Solari, is going to have to work with. And that goes for, you know, the other undrafted free agents that come in. You know, they don't come in here and they're not your Joe Thomases. They're not your Tyron Smiths, but, you know, they have heart. And they want to prove guys 32 teams wrong for not drafting them. And I'm really hoping that, you know, I don't expect any of them to start. I don't even expect any of them to, like, put up much of a fight for right tackle. But I just hope that they leave nothing on the field. I hope they put everything into their work, and I really hope that they do make the roster. So, you know, there's something to watch come preseason. As far as our draft picks, you know, I'm not one of those people bouncing off the wall. Like, Evan Engram wasn't my first overall pick that I wrote down. But, you know, you're here. You're in blue. And, you know, once the season starts, you know, you put your heart and your soul into it, and I'm hoping that, you know, you turn it out. As far as corners go, I really hope we work something out. I hope something gives. As far as finding a kicker, I hope that works out too. So I'm really looking forward to the preseason, the start.
All right, Chantel Rebel, thank you very much, man, and taking the time to talk football giants with the roundtable. It's always great to hear from you, lady. It's always great to hear from you.
Thank you.
Oh, you're quite welcome. One from one diehard fan to another. Worm. Please, Chris, you missed a beautiful Hall of Fame speech for Derek Jeter by the Worm early on in this episode. You'll probably hear it in the archives. But Worm, please.
Can't wait.
Worm, please, your final thoughts as well. Anything that's on your mind, your final thoughts. Take your time, sir.
I know we've said this, you know, before when we address the safeties, you know, couple episodes before, a couple months ago, whatever you want to call it. I'm over Nate Berhe. I can't do it anymore. I think his sleeper is going to be Johnson out of Clemson. I can really see this kid making the team. And I can see Berhe maybe getting a boot. There is one disappointing pick I wish we would have made, and I absolutely love the kid, you know, watching him playing at Penn State, is Garrett Sickles, the end out of Penn State. I think that kid's going to be special. He has a great motor, quick off the edge, and I think he could have really helped us in Spagnuolo's system. I wish I could have seen him in Giants blue. And then I don't know if anybody realized it, but we're picking up a fourth-round compensatory pick for losing Hankins to Indianapolis for next year in the draft. So we'll have two fourth-round picks. So with that, if the Giants, which I hope they don't, sign LeGarrette Blount, we'll have an extra fourth-round pick. If they do, then that's going to affect the compensatory pick that we're going to receive for Hankins. And you know, I can't wait to see these position battles in camp. I think there's going to be a lot of surprise players that are going to make the roster that nobody's going to really realize they're there until after training camp's over. But I really want to see Berhe gone. I'm done. I can't take him anymore. The dude is softer than a hostess cupcake. He makes a hit, he's out, and then he's, you know, busy with the Twitter fingers. And posting pictures and stuff online. It's like, dude, you're either here to play football or get the hell out of the building. About it.
That is Worm, ladies and gentlemen. Worm, thank you very much. Who said that?
Yeah.
I can't follow that. That's, hey, between Chantel and Wilson, man. I mean, oh, by the way, I meant to bring this up before. Do you guys remember a couple of years ago, or maybe it was a year ago, that one viral video that went around when that receiver from Florida State sat down with the autistic kid who was sitting by himself and
yes.
he had lunch with him? You remember that? That's Travis Rudolph that's in camp with us, you know, from Florida State. That's him, and he's gotten really big notice for that. A lot just in this area alone. It's on every, seems like it's on every minute on Giants.com. And just from the political side of the house, sorry, Steve, for the plug. I wasn't trying to plug it. It just came out like that. And then, but just from this side of that, from that side of the house, that fact alone, I think he's going to end up on his roster. I'm just saying that. And because that's how things work sometimes. And that's the kind of thing that the franchise loves. To do good inside of the house. That's why.
So who's out?
Surprises me.
So who's out? Who's out if he's in?
I think probably if Rogers not gone already, somebody like him. I personally like Tavares King. I don't know. But I know if you got to look at the roster, Steve, I'm looking at. Let me see. You got Marshall. You got OGP. You got Shepard. Gang, how many can we carry? Five? How many do we carry?
Normally it's five.
They'll stretch it to six.
Did you just read my mind then? Then they're going to stretch it to six. Because watch them bring this kid in. Because it's the kind of stuff that the Mara family loves. I'm just saying it. That's exactly what's going to happen. Anyway, I like this roster. Again, I'm going to reemphasize the fact that I like this roster of undrafted free agents that we have. We got a lot of hungry guys that really want a spot. They really want to wear that uniform, and they want to be there in Dallas. So, and I'm pretty sure the hungriest guys are probably Dunker, Wheeler, Jones on the defensive line. And I'm going to give some dark horse love to Jadeer Johnson from Clemson. I think he may just have enough to make it. He's going to fight like hell to do it. And also my man from Penn State, same thing for him. I think we've got some really good guys here that are going to make this roster. I think just about all, we can make it, it could be as many as five. I also think one of those Thompsons are going to fall off the roster too. Okay. Because you're not getting a return on investment there. I don't know. It's going to be an interesting camp, and our eyes are going to be on every move. We're gonna watch who's hustling, who's not, who's soft as, how did you say it? How did you say it, Worm? Soft as a hostess cupcake.
Softer than a hostess cupcake.
To whoever's hard as steel. So we'll see, but I'm pretty sure that as many as five of these guys, maybe even six, can be on the roster come opening night. I'm pretty sure. Got some really hungry dudes here that want to wear that uniform. And they're going to be fighting. It's going to be battling. It's going to be a little sweaty. It's going to be like, you know, normally Giants camps are pretty tame, man. But damn, you know, this one might end up being like, you know, the Ravens in recent years, the Raiders in recent years, where these guys just go after each other. And if you got a situation like that, then believe me, we're going to have a good season. We're going to have a pretty damn good season because you got to remember the guys we did draft. You know, they're going to be feeling the heat too. You know, particularly, I can never say his name, Adam Bisswati from Pittsburgh. You know, he has something to prove as well. You know, so, hey, stay tuned. We're going to have a good old time. We're going to have a really, really good old time.
All right. That is the conclusion of Big Blue Roundtable, the undrafted folk with the stakeholders. I'm glad that Chantel brought up the Victor Cruz point, kind of has that Mark Wahlberg, Vince Papale, invincible feel to it. You want to see these diamond in the rough type players come out of nowhere, make the roster spot. In-depth, good conversation, getting the great thoughts from diehard fan Worm, and of course the legendary Chris. as far as what we're looking at is what we currently have. And there's some good points that have been made that I didn't really think about. I got to give credit to Chantel and Worm and Chris as far as the lack of depth on cornerback. I didn't even really think about that. And until they brought that up, and then they're absolutely correct. A position of need. It was once a strength as soon as last season, as 365 days later has become a position of need, not because of the talent, but because of the depth. That is something they may need to address along with the kicker as well. That is something the Giants are going to have to definitely put together as well. Some of the guys, but like I said, when I had my, I guess you could say 3 minutes of time, I'll be honest, man. There's only a couple guys that I'm really feeling that really are in the trenches. Everybody else is just a crapshoot. I'm not really feeling like that. Some of the tight ends that they brought in, I'm not feeling. Some of the linemen they brought in, I'm not really feeling. Just like I said, it's like almost like a toss-up between Chad Wheeler, Chris Mitch, and Dunker. I'm actually okay with. But, Jaron Jones or somebody like Josh Banks, somebody like that that could really get the depth stronger interiorly-wise, I'm actually cool with. But I thought it was a good conversation as far as bringing in Travis Rudolph as well. And then also Worm's point as far as Hurselick at tight end, that's really interesting stuff, man, that we all bring it together on the round table. For Chantel, Worm, Chris, and myself, this episode is definitely on bleedblueshow.com, so you can go back and listen to what the great Worm has said about the great Derek Jeter, as well, and also what we said throughout this episode on the website. Or if you want to download it to your smartphone, you get to hear Chantel, Worm, Chris, and myself on iTunes, Podcast Republic, TuneIn, and your Stitcher apps on your handheld devices. You can listen to the stakeholders of the Big Blue Roundtable on the Bleed Blue Show talking undrafted folk on your handheld devices. Or if you're talking crap on the Eagles or the Redskins or the Cowboys, you could definitely piggyback off notes off Chantel, Worm, and also Chris, man. But, guys, good dialogue. We'll definitely be back next week on here on the Big Blue Roundtable here on the Bleed Blue Show. Sangre Azul, share the show. Bleed Blue.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Bleed blue, 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 bleed blue.
Legit held the line together.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm.